ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। श्रीमद्भागवतम सेकंड कैंटो नाइन्थ चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 40। प्रजापतिर धर्मपतिर एकदा नियमान यमान भद्रम प्रजानाम अनिच्छन् आतिष्ठत् स्वार्थ काम्मया। प्रजापतिर धर्मपतिर एकदा नियमान यमान भद्रं प्रजानाम अन्विच्छन् आतिष्ठत् सार्थकाम्मया। प्रजापतिर धर्मपतिर एकदा नियमान यमान भद्रं प्रजानम अनिच्छन् आतिष्ठत् स्वार्थकाम्मया। प्रजापतिर धर्मपतिर एकदा नियमान यमान धर्मं भद्रं प्रजानम अन्विच्छन् आतिष्ठत् स्वार्थकाम्मया।
प्रजापति धर्मपति प्रजापति धर्मपति प्रजापति धर्मपति भद्रं प्रजानमन्निच्छन्
माताजी।
प्रजापति प्रजापति
Prajapatihi, the forefather of all living entities. Dharmapati, the father of religious life. Ekada, once upon a time. Niyaman, rules and regulation. Yaman, principles of control. Bhadram, welfare. Prajanam, of the living being. Anvichan, desiring. Atishthat, situated. Swa-artha, own interest. Kammaya, so desiring. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Thus, once upon a time, the forefather of living entities and the father of religiousness, Lord Brahma, situated himself in acts of regulative principles, desiring self-interest for the welfare of all living entities. Please repeat after me. Thus, once upon a time, the forefather of living entities and the father of religiousness, Lord Brahma, situated himself in acts of regulative principles, desiring self-interest for the welfare of all living entities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One cannot be situated in an exalted position without having undertaken a regulative life of rules and regulations. An unrestricted life of sense gratification is animal life. And Lord Brahma, in order to teach all concerned within the jurisdictions of his generations, taught the same principles of sense control for executing higher duties. He desired the welfare of all as servants of God, and anyone desiring the welfare of the members of his family and generations must conduct a moral religious life. The highest life of moral principles is to become a devotee of the Lord, because a pure devotee of the Lord has all the good qualities of the Lord. On the other hand, one who is not a devotee of the Lord, however qualified he may be in the mundane sense of the term, cannot be qualified with any good quality worthy of the name. The pure devotees of the Lord, like Brahma and persons in the chain of disciplic succession, do not do anything to instruct their subordinates without acting accordingly themselves. So, Prajapatir Dharmapatir Ekada Niyaman Yaman Bhadran Prajanam Anvichan Atishthat Swartha Kammaya. It's also another verse which is quite easy to remember. How many of you have memorized it already? Very good. Just 3, 4, 5. Okay, Sadhan Siddhi raised his hand last. Let's hear him say it. First line of the verse. No, this verse. Okay, what is the next word? Prajapati. And then? Very good. Follow the policy, follow the principle, and it will happen. First word of the first line. And once you got Prajapati, next line. Next. Prajapati, Dharmapati. Ekada, Niyaman, Yaman. Then, Bhadram, Bhadram, Prajanam, Anichan. Very good. So now everyone memorized it? So, now this chapter is coming towards the end. This chapter already has described how Brahma asked the questions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then the Supreme Personality of Godhead instructed him in the most wonderful way. And those instructions were the root of Srimad Bhagavatam. Those instructions are the nucleus of Srimad Bhagavatam, the four verses, Chatushloki. What are those four verses generally described? Okay, tum batao. Chatushloki ka pehla verse ke mein kya bataya gaya? Acha, arth ke. अच्छा पश्चात अहम उसके बाद क्या है जदेतच्च संधि होकर क्या हुआ जदेतच्च अच्छा मतलब क्या है इस श्लोक का अंग्रेजी में अच्छा ओके हु कैन टेल श्रद्धा है क्लास में अच्छा अच्छा ठीक तो कौन बोलेगा ओके केविन
ब्रह्मा द डिजायर हु वाज देयर बिफोर क्रिएशन द डिजायर हु वाज मेंटेनिंग द क्रिएशन एंड इट विल आल्सो बी आई टू बी देयर आफ्टर क्रिएशन
वेरी गुड एंड द सेकंड वर्स Okay, the meaning?
Whatever is not related to Supreme Lord is thrown in. It's just reflect. It's illusory energy of God. Just reflection in that.
Okay. So, Ritayartham Yat Pratyeta. Something that appears to be real. But if it is not connected to Krishna, then it is Maya. Maya means illusion. Illusion means it appears to be existing, but it doesn't exist. It's not real. Like is there a tree in the reflection of the tree, although it appears to be like a tree? Or in a photograph of a tree? It looks like in the photograph of a tree there are so many beautiful flowers and so many beautiful fruits. But can you eat those fruits? No. It's just a reflection. And this is what kind of reflection? It's a reflection in darkness that is making it appear to be real. And the third verse. Okay, now let us see. Kartik has raised his hand. Kartik, stand up. We can't see you. Third verse. Very good. Or iska meaning? You know the meaning? Okay, sit down. Yatha mahanti bhutani bhuteshu cha prateshanu tat pravishthan apravishthan tathateshu nateshu. That is, just as yatha mahanti bhutani, the elements of the universal creation enters into everything, yet it is outside of everything. Similarly, I, tatha teshu, teshu means in them. Tatha teshu, but na teshu aham, I am not in them. I am in them and not in them. So that is the inconceivable potency of the Lord. So he is in everything, yet he is not in everything. So, and then what is the fourth verse? You want to say the meaning? You bolbe? Mane jana? Bangla hai? Class theke Bangla hai hocche? Bolte parbe? Okay, say it. Oh, to Hindi class hocche nahi? Etavad eva jigyasam. Etavad means? Then, whose jiggasa? Tattva jigga sudhatmana. Those who are inquiring about the absolute truth, their question can go only up to this one. That is the limit. And then, what is the third line? And the questions are Anvaya Vyatirekabhyam, directly or indirectly. And then, what is Vyatsar? That is Sarvatra Sarvatra. At all time and at every place. Sarvatra, everywhere, and Sarvada, all time. Which means there is nothing beyond this. This is the ultimate point. This is the ultimate knowledge. This is the ultimate understanding. So what is that ultimate understanding? The understanding that has been revealed about the Supreme Personality of God. In these first three verses, what has been pointed out, that is the ultimate. The Lord is although he is the creator of everything and he is the maintainer of everything. And he existed before. And he will continue to exist. And if something is not related to the Lord, it's useless. It doesn't have any existence actually. Maya. And just as the creations of the material elements, they are just as the material elements of the universe, in spite of entering into everything, is still outside of everything. Similarly, the Lord is inside of everything, yet he is not inside everything. And if you understood these three things, that is the etavadeva jiggasa. Is there any other question beyond this? The other questions are like, how are you? I'm fine, thank you. What did you eat today? Do you know there's a nice TV program? So that is the other questions. Okay, now, so Brahmaji, after receiving this knowledge, when the Lord disappeared, Brahma got involved in creating this material universe. And Brahmaji has been described here as the forefather of living entities. Prajapati. Prajapati, the Lord of the Prajas, or the forefather of everyone. Why? Because Lord Brahma actually created everybody. All the bodies have been created by Lord Brahma. And he is also Dharmapati. He is the father of religiousness. Because Dharma is coming from Lord Brahma. What is Dharma? Dharma tu Shakshad Bhagavat Pranitam. Dharma is the law given by the Lord. The spiritual understanding and the direction to remain on the spiritual path in order to get back, in order to go back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been given by the Lord. And that is Dharma. So, who received the codes of Dharma? Lord Brahma. So, and Lord Brahma actually gave it to the human society. Therefore, he is also the Dharmapati. And Ekada, once upon a time, what did he do? Situated himself in acts of regulative principles, niyaman yaman. Niyam means rules and regulations. And yam means Yal means sense control, self-control. So external practice is Niyam and internal control is Yam. Yam, Niyam and Niyaman, Yaman. What did he do? Bhadram prajanam anichan. Desiring prajanam. Praja, what's the meaning of the word praja? Praja means living entities. And bhadram means welfare. Anichan, desiring. I'm sorry, kammaya is desiring. Also, anichan also is desiring. And desiring the welfare of all living entities, he controlled his senses and situated himself in the acts of regulative principles. So Prabhupada in the purport is pointing out that one cannot be situated in an exalted position without having undertaken a regulative life of rules and regulations. If one does not lead a life or prepare himself through practicing of rules and regulations of the scriptural codes or even moral codes, one will not be able to properly execute his responsibility that comes along with an exalted position. So just from this one sentence of Srila Prabhupada, we can see the sad state of affairs in the human society today. The leaders of the society, are they learning the process of self-control? And because the leaders are not properly situated, the followers are also not properly situated. The leaders set an example. If the leaders are properly situated in the path of Dharma, then people also will follow them and execute that responsibility or follow and remain on the path of Dharma. But when the leaders are not self-controlled, when the leaders do not have the proper training, when the leaders do not go through the austerities of preparing themselves to become qualified, then what will happen to the human society? We are seeing what is happening to the human society. When the leaders are not properly situated in religious and moral and ethical codes, then what kind of leaders they are? What kind of people? Those who do not follow the proper codes of conduct. That has been presented through the religious scriptures and moral codes and ethics. Then what happens? They become like animals. People, those who don't, Prabhupada is making the point that unrestricted life of sense gratification is animal life. Human beings are not animals. Human beings should not lead the life of an animal. An animal does anything that he wants. Animal doesn't have any consideration for moral or religious codes. They don't have any code of conduct. But the human beings, they have. Therefore, it has been pointed out that if the people, it probably is saying that unrestricted life of sense gratification is animal. Now, should the human beings lead the life of an animal, or should they become human beings? What makes a human? Just the body, the shape of the body? No. What makes a human is the sense of morality, sense of religiosity, sense of ethics. That is what makes a human being a human being. And unfortunately, today's human society is not a human society. It has become an animalistic society. Although they apparently look like civilized, but they are completely uncivilized because there is no consideration of sense control. Therefore, they do not have any aspiration for higher objective of life. They don't aspire for something higher. So what is happening, although apparently it's a very glamorous society, although they look very, very cultured from their dress and other things, but what is happening, their inside, their subtle body is becoming like that of an animal. And what will happen as a result of that? When they leave this body, what will happen? Yes, for the time being they are in a human body. But after they die, after they have to leave this, after they leave this body, what will happen? They'll glide down to the animal. They're already animals. Their subtle body has taken the shape of an animal. Now it's only a matter of time that they get an appropriate body. That appropriate body is waiting for them. Next life, get an animal body. And that is the law of nature. Whether it sounds pleasant or not, that's the law of nature. And we have to be prepared for that. Now the question is, are we going to allow ourselves to slide down to that degraded state of existence? Are we going to take a risk now that we got this human form of life? Should we allow ourselves to become degraded to an animal species? Getting an animal body? No. An intelligent person shouldn't do that. So what should he do? What makes a human a human? The ultimate consideration of the human form of life is Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Now inquire about your spiritual identity and elevate yourself to that. That is what the human life is meant for. Or, if the life is just centered around ahara nidra bhaya maithunancha, shamana nitat poshubhi. Ahar means eating, nidra, sleeping, bhaya, defending from fear, defending oneself from the fearful situation, and maithun, sex life. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So that is a human, that is not human propensity, that is animal propensity. They are there in the animals also. Animals also have these four propensities: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But what makes a human being different from an animal? What makes a human being different from an animal? Brahma Jigyasa. That's the beginning. Inquiry about the spiritual identity. Am I this body? Or am I something beyond this body? And when you make this inquiry, then what happens? What is the answer? Am I this body? No. How do you know that you are not this body?
Because when we will die, then this body will remain this.
Very good.
Now, it can't do any work. Without soul, it can't do any work. Because that the ultimate thing is we are soul.
Very good. So you have accepted the soul. Right, yeah. At one point, the body becomes dead. What causes the body to die? And what caused the body to be alive? Yes, I'm asking you. Will you answer? What causes the body to be alive? Yes, okay, you tell us. The presence of the soul. And what causes the body to die? Absence of the soul. Right? So who makes the body alive? The soul. Right? Now, what is our real identity? The soul. It's my body. Who is me? Who is me? Who is I? The soul. Now, do we need to know that identity of ours? The spiritual identity, the soul. I am the soul, but do I know me? If we question, then what will be the answer? Do I know me? How many of you know yourself? Okay, Gangadharan clarified it by saying theoretically. Okay, again another small hand went up at the back. Let me see. So, Kartik, stand up. I'm asking you to stand up because otherwise I can't see you. I can see your hand, but I can't see your face. So who are you?
Soul.
Soul. And who? What is the soul? Soul is not Param Atma. Soul is Atma. Right? And where does Atma come from? Where does the soul come from? Atma come from? Golok Vrindavan. Okay. Have you seen Golok Vrindavan? Okay. Do you want to see Golok Vrindavan? Do you want to see yourself? Do you want to know yourself? Then what you have to do? If in order to know yourself, what you have to do? Okay. And why are we chanting Hare Krishna? Why are you chanting Hare Krishna? To know yourself. To know Krishna. Right? If you know Krishna, then you know yourself. Right? Just as when the sun comes up, with the light of the sun you can see everybody. Do you see yourself when the sun comes up? When the sun is not there, can you see yourself? No. When the sun is not there, can you see the sun? No. But when the sun comes up, you see the sun, you see yourself, and you see everybody else. So similarly, when Krishna When we become Krishna conscious, when we know Krishna, then we know Krishna, and in the light of Krishna consciousness, we know everything and everybody, including ourselves. Right? You think it's a nice process to know yourself? What are you going to do now? Okay. What is the holy name? Very good. How many rounds do you chant every day? Four. Okay, very good. Thank you. Sit down. Good. So this is the process. This is the process. But in order to do that, what we have to do? We have to follow the regulative principles. Dharma. The codes of dharma. And codes of dharma automatically includes the codes of morality. Religious code already includes moral codes. If somebody pursuing the path of dharma, can he be immoral? So that's why we see that code of morality is automatically included in the code of dharma. If you want to be spiritually situated, what do you have to do? You have to follow the four regulative principles. If you want to join ISKCON, what do you have to do? You have to follow the four regulative principles. Four regulative principles are no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. So when one doesn't do these four things, is he already situated in the path of morality, on the platform of morality? So when somebody follows the path of dharma, he is automatically situated on the path of morality. So that is what makes a human being a human being. Otherwise, he is not a human being. No matter how qualified, how exalted he may appear to be. If a person is a leader of the society, but if he is a meat eater, if he is a drunkard, if he is a womanizer, and if he is a gambler. Now, do people respect this kind of people? Normally, the human society, do they? Maybe meat eating is not so bad, but a drunkard, a debauchee, and a gambler, are they respected in the human society? Should they be respected? Generally, people, of course, society is becoming very degraded now. Now, these people are becoming heroes, big gamblers. I remember a long time back there was a Hindi movie called Gambler. So now they are promoting these kind of things. And most of the times we see that people are actually glorifying people, those who are not at all exalted, not at all properly situated in their life, those who are leading immoral lives. But the real human society, in the real human society, these kind of people are not at all respected. Who are respected? Those who are sense controlled. In the society, the devotees of the Lord are respected. Why? Because first of all, they are leading a very high standard of life. And then they give the right guidance and direction. That's why people worship the religious leaders. But also we get to know nowadays that some people, they are dressed like a devotee but acts like an animal. It's happening. Should they be respected? No. So that is the qualification of a leader. Prabhupada is pointing out that a person cannot be situated in an exalted position unless he has undertaken a regulative life of rules and regulations. And then such a person, what does he do? He guides the human society for the benefit of everybody. He gives them the proper spiritual understanding. Do this, do that. A teacher must command the confidence of his students. If the students don't have confidence in the teacher, then they will not take his teachings seriously. Especially religious teachings. So the religious leaders have to be exemplary in their activities and behavior. And that is why this consideration of following the four regulative principles. Now these are not only just an apparent requirement. These are inherent requirements. They are necessary. Why a spiritual person should not eat meat? A person who wants to make spiritual progress, why shouldn't he eat meat? Because meat eating will degrade his consciousness. Why a spiritual personality or aspirant for spiritual life should not take intoxication? Again, intoxication degrades the consciousness. He loses his consciousness. His consciousness becomes completely scattered and degraded. Why should not a spiritual aspirant or a spiritual personality not indulge in illicit sex? Because that degrades his character, that degrades him. And same with gambling. So these acts will degrade one. Now, in order to become exalted, can we afford to take the path of degradation? If we want to go up, can we afford to fall down? Simple consideration. If we want to go up, can we afford to fall down? No. In order to go up, we cannot afford to fall down. We cannot afford to slide down or glide down. We have to go up. And what makes one go up? What makes the soul and consciousness to go up? Spiritual activities. So in order to go up, by following the spiritual activities, spiritual process, we have to take care that we do not go down. And then only one can create the proper welfare activity for the society, human society in general. Prajanam swartha kamaya, swartha kamaya, for their benefit. Bhadram prajanam, for the benefit of their welfare, for their welfare. A spiritual leader must be situated in a proper situation by following the rules and regulations given by the scriptures. Scriptures are giving us the right direction, so we have to follow those directions, practice those process. And thus we must become exalted in order to benefit others. That's why those who are taking the responsibility to guide the people in general must be very, very conscious about this need. They cannot act whimsically. They cannot act in an unrestricted way. They must be very, very strict with themselves. They must be exemplary in their behavior. And how does one become exemplary in their behavior? By following the four regulative principles and remaining fixed up in their spiritual principles. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question?
Less people are so degraded, they are not inspired about spiritual life. So how we can approach and how we can inspire this inspiration about this? How is it possible?
At least we may not be able to change others, but we can change ourselves. That's the first thing. Before we try to rectify them, correct them, we should correct ourselves. And that's how we become exemplary. And then we may not be able to influence the leaders, but at least we can influence the people who are around us. We can inspire them to follow this life of exalted spiritual practice. So charity begins at home. Healer, heal thyself first. So we have to strictly follow ourselves, practice ourselves. We become exemplary. Then others will follow our examples. And then ultimately it is Krishna will make the arrangements. If we become sincerely adherent, if we become sincerely committed to Krishna in serving Him and by following His instructions, then Krishna will take care. Krishna wants Krishna consciousness to spread all over the world. But Krishna will do it through His devotees. Therefore, first of all, the devotees have to become exemplary. And then it's up to Krishna. As we become fixed up, Krishna will engage us more and more in His service. And the most important service, most important business that Krishna has is to dharma sansthapana arthaya in this world, to establish the religious principles in this world. Mahaprabhu also predicted every town and village. Has Krishna consciousness spread in every town and village? No. But that's what has to happen. Now who will do that? Mahaprabhu will arrange it through His devotees. So if we become His devotees, He will engage us, He will use us. Therefore, what we need to do on our part, we have to become qualified ourselves. And then Krishna will engage us. Any other question? Yes, Shyam. You have to lay have? What's that? Who told you? Indradumna Maharaj? Huh?
But it's just information that I wasn't sure about this information.
Check it out. I don't think he said that. No. There is no guarantee that 5 lives or 5 million lives. Or you can make it this life. You can make it right now. Prabhupada said you can go back to Krishna right now. Krishna is with you, so why it will be difficult to go to Krishna? Is it difficult for you to go to your mother? No? Will it be difficult to go for you to go to your father? Is it difficult for you to go to your father?
Now, yes.
Yeah, now because he is... But is it difficult? Will he ever say, don't come to me?
No.
Did he ever say that? So similarly, will it be difficult for you to go back to your Supreme Father? What does your common sense say? No. Why should it be 5 lives? Prabhupada said, finish off your business in this life. Don't come back again. Unless you have to come to preach. Okay. So I think I should check that. Or he may have said it as a joke. Koi prashna hai tumko? Batao.
Yeah, out of the four that you mentioned, it is the illicit sex and other three. The most powerful, I think, is the sex of the sex with the life partner is also avoided.
You see, our scripture says that, you see, this act is only for procreation. Right? Is for procreation. So that is the main purpose, isn't it?
But it doesn't seem now.
Yeah, that's how, you know, the society has become so degraded. Right? And it shouldn't be. Like, you can consider even the animals. Right? It's only for procreation. So why should human beings be even worse than animals? And controlling sex life is the goal of life. Tapasa brahmacharyena.
But in the most reputed papers and articles, they are written that this is a necessity of a woman.
This necessity?
Of a woman.
They don't know anything.
The most reputed.
Reputed, their reputation comes from where?
Like India today and other. Regularly they are different.
Yeah, India today, so you can see India's condition today. And from that, you can make out what India today is. These people, you know, they don't know anything. They are victims of, you know, this animal culture, animalistic culture. I mean, at least in India they are saying that it's a need for, you know. But, you know, in the West what is happening? Now these newspapers are promoting homosexualism. Now will anybody consider, anybody in his right sense will sanction that, homosexual? But, you know, today society is accepting it in the West. It's being a big thing now. They're promoting this. Even political parties are promoting that. So that shows, you know, how the society is becoming degraded. It's not a human society anymore. It has become a society of animals and even worse than animals. Even the animals don't indulge in homosexual activities. Right? So that shows what's happening to the human society. That reminds me, you know, like a couple of years back I was in Spain in a religious conference. And we were sitting together. There was Christian, Jews, Muslim. No, the Muslim was not there. He didn't join us in the table with us. So we are having just a friendly discussion. And you see, and these people are religious leaders, you know. They are religious, representing different religions, you know. Christianity, Judaism, 4 or 5 of them were from these two groups. And I was there. So at one point they asked me, like, what is our views on homosexuality? And my immediate response was, just spontaneously it came, it's demoniac. And they were shocked when I said it's demoniac. And because, you know, I mean, I didn't realize. And after we started to discuss, I realized that although they were not verbally saying it, but they were endorsing it. That it's okay to be homosexual. And then I just made one point, because both are actually from Christian and Jewish background. I asked them, what was wrong with Sodom and Gomorrah? You know, in Bible, there are these incidents of these two places, Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what I asked. Why God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Because they were indulging in homosexual activities and lesbian activities. God wanted, and He destroyed them. He took out the pious people, the family of Lot, and then He destroyed them. And they were quiet. They didn't say anything after that. It's from their scriptures. It's not from my scriptures. I just pointed out why God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Because of homosexual activities. So that is how sinful that act is.
Sorry, Maharaj, in the Western sphere now, we, in the Brahma's creation, you know, those with the homosexual propensity, you know, were born from his anus.
Who is born from
his anus? Those with the homosexual propensity.
The demons are born
from
his anus.
The demons, yeah, the demons, yeah. Because they actually were attracted to Brahma. There's one instance where they felt an attraction towards Brahma, and Brahma ran away, and Krishna said, turn yourself into dust.
No, that is different. That he became attracted. That is, dusk is a different incident altogether. The dusk is not. Dusk is not with that. Dusk is, you see, Brahma became attracted to his own daughter. And that's why he gave up his body. And that body became mist.
There was another instance where Brahma gave birth to his progeny that became attracted to him, male progeny.
Yeah.
It became attracted to him. So he ran towards the Lord. Mm. And the Lord said, change your features. Mm. And become... because you see, in homosexual society, they cruise. They look for other men at that particular hour between 6 and 7 o'clock. And this is actually a fact.
Now it is there. I'm looking for the 24 hours.
Krishna actually said, change your features into that, because they were very attracted to that element of him. So they were actually born. You know, the fact of the matter is, it's a big issue.
But who are they?
The homosexuals, are they born?
And who are they?
They're demons.
Yeah. Demons, so that's what I said.
Yeah.
I mean, should we allow this society to become demoniac?
No, we actually have definitive understanding of their birth, their appearance into the world, and their proclivity, and how they become like that. But they do not have that understanding.
But the thing is that it may, yeah. The reason is there, but it's not. That doesn't mean that he's being endorsed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not endorsed under any circumstances. So that is actually showing, you know, what these people are becoming.
But how do we deal with the question that people are actually born with this homosexual propensity? Because this is a big question for them.
This is how they're justifying their degraded mentality. Born with this proclivity. So what? I mean, is human being supposed to, like, here, unrestricted sense gratification, right? Born with this proclivity, what does it mean? Change your thing. Change your degraded attitude. Right? There's no, you cannot justify a wrong act. I mean, if somebody comes and says that I'm born murderer,
yes,
right? I have been born with the proclivity to murder. Whoever I see, I want to kill him. Now, will the court of law justify that? You may have, but you know, there is a consideration of moral, sense of morality and ethics. Whatever is wrong should be punished and not endorsed. I mean, to begin with, you know, like, let's consider, what's the purpose of sex life? Procreation. Now, I mean, that is, I mean, if you look at it in this light, you can see immediately it's an abnormal act. And as I pointed out, even animals don't indulge in these kind of activities. Have you seen any animal born with this proclivity?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna.